Blog Talk Radio.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, who still questions the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer.
Brown Sugar Radio is the food for your soul. Enriching lives with many possibilities, we embrace and uplift our community with love, laughter, and inspiration. Today, I encourage you to keep learning, keep smiling, but most of all, keep striving to make your dreams come true. It's time to believe in yourself and walk into your new journey. Buckle your seatbelts for another exciting segment on the hottest urban show on the internet. It's time to get up, Brown Sugar Radio Lord listeners. We've got work to do.
Hey, welcome back to another exciting segment on the live show, Blog Talk Radio. It is your show host, Brown Sugar, and we do have part two to parents using children as pawns. And so this show is definitely going to be fire, because we are setting it off as we normally do. And at this time, I would love to bring back the man of the hour, my guest co-host, Minister Leonard Tatum. Welcome back to Brown Sugar Radio.
That feels good to be back. Thank you for the invite. I'm excited about the show. Good to hear that we have an actual topic on parents using their kids as pawns, and I'm just glad to be a part of it and be able to get some insight.
And, you know, I really, really, not only is this a discussion that truly needed to be heard, but a lot of my listeners actually sent me emails, and they were like, that was such a great topic. Oh, I wanted to hear more. And we knew we were cutting it close, because part one, for those of you who are joining us today, you got to go back and check out the archive, because this is just a continuation, because what we put out there was basically some of the situations you come across, but we didn't have enough time to actually go over the resolutions to these problems, because you know how I am. I always, yes, I like to talk about the problem, but I also like to provide a solution if possible. And so that's what we're going to do today. And, you know, I just have to say that this topic is certainly something that is not talked about enough. And the reality of it is it happens every day. And so what I'd like to do is real quick, I want to shout out my listeners in the chat room. I got to say, what's up, PV? I know you'll probably be calling in. I appreciate you supporting the show. And then we have some anonymous guests in the chat. Also, those of you joining us on Facebook and Twitter, thank you so much for joining us today. And so certainly spread the word about Brown Sugar Radio. And also, too, is it Roundtable Talk? That's the name of your show you have?
Yes, ma'am. It's Roundtable Talk. We just abbreviated RT Talk.
And all right. And what days do you air on?
Right now I'm on a hiatus. I've been working on
Okay. State. Well, you've got some incredible archive shows, though. Even if they just go through and check out the shows that you've done in the past, I mean, topics such as the one we have today are explosive, and I can't wait to, you know, get to the meat and potatoes of this subject. And so without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and put it on out there. Usually, most parents, you know what I'm saying, in the very beginning, when a child is born, you know, we don't hope that, oh, you know, one of the parents won't be in that child's life. That's not what we visualize at that time. But in life, things happen, people change, you know, or circumstances may change, and it creates a barrier. And what I'm learning, I have some alarming statistics that I can't wait to put out today, and then we're going to have Minister Leonard Tatum give some awesome advice for men, how to deal with the transition from the ex-spouse to the new spouse in a healthy relationship for the children. But it's amazing to me because as I was researching this, you know me, I'm always constantly looking for some information. Parental alienation syndrome, also known as PAS, okay, is a mental disorder that many doctors are feeling that it has to come into what they call as the medical Bible, the Bible of mental health. And, you know, it's just awesome because they feel that come 2012, it'll actually be added to one of the mental diagnoses. Now, the crazy thing about it, William Burnett, he's a professor of psychiatry at the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine, and he's an advocate for PAS, and also another term is DSM-5. Okay, now this describes a mental condition in which a child, usually one whose parents are engaged in a high conflict divorce or separation, allies him or herself strongly with one parent and rejects a relationship with the other. All right. Now, the sad part, 9 times out of 10, is usually without a good cause or any type of justification. It's mainly because either mama or daddy is upset or giving one side of the story, and the child being immature or being inexperienced in this type of drama or turmoil, if you will side with mama or daddy, whoever they're the closest with at that time. Now, there is no doubt that, you know, divorces certainly can get very, very ugly, and it's sad because parents will sometimes use the children as a pawn to get back at the other parent. We call it payback with your children. Now, it happens more often than we think, and the awesome thing about Dr. Burnett is that he's arguing that PAS should be added into the mental health clinic because this is a disorder in order to spur up controversy and to have that child raise up against their parent. Now, the thing is, though, he also says that in order for insurance to cover this, for mental health clinics and doctor's offices, that more research has to take place and that parents certainly should, you know, take heed to this, this type of therapy, because what they're doing is they're scarring the children, okay? So he feels that this type of PAS, also known as parental alienation syndrome, is causing a lot of grief and unnecessary emotional issues with the child. I want to read these statistics real quick, and then, Leonard, I'm certainly going to let you have the floor. These statistics here, 50% of mothers see no value in the father continuing contact with his children. This is an alarming report. This is called Surviving the Breakup by Joan Berlin. Also, 40% of mothers report that they had interfered with the father's visitation to punish their ex-spouse. 85% of children that exhibit behavior disorders come from a fatherless home. This report was stemmed from the Center of Disease Control. And then we have 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 80% of rapes, motivated and displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. So those are some huge numbers that we're dealing with today, huge numbers. And I just think it's awfully sad because speaking of this parental alienation syndrome, it's not only hurting the child, but the other parent is certainly not fair for, and majority of the time it is the man that pays for it, you know, being that the woman has custody, you know, I would say predominantly of the time. LT, what advice, you know, in regards to you? You told your story a little bit, certainly if you want to tap into that briefly and then give some suggestions on how to handle this. Your story, certainly, I'm sure this is like an echo that you're hearing.
Yes.
Okay, let's just recap a little bit on that, what you went through, and then let's get into how to transition from the ex-wife to the new wife, because not only is it the children that have to deal with the ex-wife, but I mean, excuse me, the new wife, but the ex-spouse does. You know, this has to be a relationship where all three are involved. Okay, or if you got more children, however many you got.
Right.
Right, okay, all however many, your kids plus your new wife and the ex-wife. So let's get into that.
Well, I want to start off where you left off and then briefly touch on that, and we'll go into the transition. I would like to compare a divorce with children to a car accident and no one has on a seatbelt.
Wow.
It's acceleration, especially if there's no real signs of an abusive relationship or dysfunction in the family, but all of a sudden the parents separate to the child, they weren't prepared. The parents were prepared because either they were in a relationship or married or whatever. They were preparing themselves for the break. So it's like they put their seatbelts on and they knew it was coming, you know, and they're in the driver's seat. They can see the oncoming obstacle that's getting ready to make this crash, but the children are not able to know or recognize any of these signs that this is going to happen, or nor prepare themselves to be in a one-parent situation and not two.
Right.
We don't really think of the children when we get divorced, because we feel, hey, they're okay. They're provided for. They have what they need. We both love them, and, you know, no matter what, they're going to be all right until the pawn play comes into place.
Right.
It's a shock trauma to a child. I was listening to the statistics that you were putting out, and you were talking about this this new ordeal that's an epidemic and has been one because the children were never the focus in a lot of the separations that we have. And it is a shock trauma. They go from having two parents to having one and then being denied to see another parent. And then you just show the alarming rates of the different things that go on without the father in the home. So for me, the transitional period was really tough because I'm a hoarding parent. I hoard my children. I mean, I overshadow them with advice, with love, with attention, with affection, with being participating in everything that they do.
Right, you're very active in your kids' life.
Active in everything that I do is really family-oriented, so it's always a us thing. And to go from being with my kids every single day of their life to having to split the time, it was traumatizing for me. And I'm still going through, you know, periods of depression about not having all my children with me. And she hasn't used the kids to say I couldn't see them, but what she did do is traumatize the children into believing that it was their fault that we divorced. To try to push a wedge between me and my kids, and it only backfired. And now, like the other day, my youngest son just broke down and cried because he had to go home after a weekend visit. And, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking we're good. You know, the kids are straight. We've been decent between each other. And so what men have to realize is when we go into the transitional period, we have to draw boundaries for ourselves. And I didn't do that. I allowed too much to happen. I allowed myself, because I love my kids so much, to be really used and taken advantage of, from financial to just taking them where they had to go or being here and being there. And men are the ones that really don't draw the boundary of communication with the ex. And a lot of the animosity and the you can't see your kid is because, truthfully, a lot of men, when they leave, they carry on romantically with the ex and don't cut it off. Because I always say this when I advise people or counsel people, that divorce seems to be a 2 to 3 year at least ordeal. Even after the paperwork is done, you're taking the person you are because you're with that person, and then you're trying to tear it apart. It's a violent break. It's never easy. It's a violent break, and now you're trying to put yourself whole together. And it is it's almost like you have to wean yourself away from each other. And all of the things that were good in the relationship seem to last and linger beyond the dysfunction. So men have to draw the line, especially when they're going into a new relationship, because automatically it seems that the majority of men, and the statistics are alarming, that over 70% of men immediately go into another relationship when they have children, because they need a mother figure for their kids and different things of this nature. So, like you said, the women usually are the ones that have the children custody, and men are usually the ones that find themselves in a relationship within a short period of time after separation or divorce. And so the conduct that men have to really outline is not to, this is my advice, not to take what drama is going on in the old relationship and bring it into the new relationship, like in discussing how this person is and what they'll do and the bad things and all of that, because they generate an animosity with their new woman towards the ex. And so that hinders the capacity to parent the kids between two households, because there is animosity between the two individuals that construct and put together the lifestyle for the family. And so he only shoots himself in the foot to have his new woman hate his old woman, and his old woman to hate his new woman, and he's in the middle having to suffer whatever the repercussions of the children pawn game, I'll do more for your child than you do for your child type of thing, I'm going to buy your kids love, and, you better not call her mama, and you know what I'm saying? It's just a whole, especially when you have babies, kids.
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It just don't make no sense. It really doesn't, And I just feel, I feel you on that. Certainly I want you to finish up, but I have this comment that I wanted to make in regards to the children feeling confused, because what happens is they feel a disloyalty then to, let's say, their mother or father, whoever they're residing with predominantly, whenever they're visiting with the other, the non-custodial parent, is certain things they feel awkward around being around their own parent, because they're like, their mom gives them so many rules. Well, you better not talk about this, and you better not say that, and you better not call this, and you better not, do this, that, and the third. When they get around the other parent, they feel like a robot. They don't know what to say.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're so confused and disoriented, and you're looking at them like, speak, child, speak, and they're scared to talk to you.
And
it's crazy.
My daughter didn't know, how to be, because she knew her mother didn't care for my woman at the time. And she liked my woman at the time as a mother role. So she kind of was like, how do I act? And it's sad. It is so sad, because children are put into a situation they are not prepared to handle. And it's not your responsibility to try to show more affection or love to one parent or accept. They feel bad for accepting a step-parent, so they kind of hide it if they like the step-parent from the parent. It is crazy what we throw our kids into, a blender of emotion and circumstance and situation, especially if we make the mistake of arguing or talking on the phone where they can hear the conversation.
Yes, and then that's one stickler that I am adamant about, even for myself, with my new relationship. I do not like to argue or have disagreements in front of my children, because what that teaches them is to side with one parent or the other, And so you have to be cautious with that, especially, you're right, though, with that other parent, because you don't want to show that, hey, mom and dad are on two different teams. What team am I going to be on? It should be mom and dad are together. We are one as far as your parents and what's best for you. We may not be together and one romantically, but we are one as far as the best interest of the child. And that's how it should be viewed. And unfortunately, it's just not, And so I love the information and the advice that you're giving today. Certainly, if the listeners in the chat, you're welcome to call in if you have any questions or comment. The phone lines will be open for the next probably 7 or 8 minutes, and then we will not be recording live any longer. But I'm sure we'll be continuing the conversation because of the fact that we do have a brief segment today. But you can call in at 646-716-8697. That's 646-716-8697. 716-8697 in order to express, you know, how you feel about this. Or you can even comment in the chat for those of you who may be a little phone shy and, you know, you don't feel comfortable being live on the air. All right, so LT, now in regards to, you know, dealing with the transition from the new relationship, let's talk about even the parents that are living together. We didn't get into that last segment, and they still are using children like as pawns. For example, if one says, hey, you know, if you do that, then I'm going to leave you and you'll never see your child again. I see a lot of that for parents that are together, because it's not only parents that are separated, and that's where this situation gets sticky. You know, oh, well, if you leave me, I'll make sure you never see your daughter again or your son again. How does, you know, a parent deal with that? Feeling trapped.
Well, that parent has to, I mean, first, I think that the main thing, and I'm trying to make my points real quick so we don't go too long, but I think the main thing is a parent has to realize what the other parent is going through or what psychological transformation has taken place from the time they were enjoying the relationship until the time that they're going out of the relationship. There are definitely some accountability on all actions between two people, and a lot of things are generated by one person, and then there's a repercussion by it. So they do have to understand, and I try to see it as a minister from both sides. I never look at in a relationship or in the relationship as one person as the evil person and one person as the good person. There's just innocent victims in the situation and out of the children. So the parent has to recognize, acknowledge, and to be accountable for their actions that generated the animosity or the level of contention between the two individuals. So had the relationship ended for certain reasons, abuse or cheating or whatever the situation may be, whoever that person is, the aggressor of this damage that has reproduced this situation, has to acknowledge that they have put themselves in that situation. And that they have to at some level deal with it. And the thing that I had to do was I had to really go back and look at all of my actions and sit down with her and say, look, we're going to talk about the breakup and this, that we're no longer together, but, you know, we have these children to raise. And I think that couples need counseling exiting the relationship when they have children, and it just hasn't been a standard in American society to do it, because it's always looked at as a failure. There's no reason to try to fix a failure or to aid the people that are going through a failure. Almost like losing a home. You know, they don't counsel you on foreclosing and losing your home, that it's not the worst thing, the end of the world. But when the kids are involved in that situation and you're told that you can't see your kids anymore, which I was told, my oldest daughter was used like that as a pawn to hurt and to damage me, the hardest thing for me to do, because it was a game, you know, it's not just I'm going to keep you from seeing your kids. I'm going to taunt the kids in front of you, and then you can't see your kids. In my situation, but what I did was, you know, and I have to be spiritual at this moment, is I prayed to God to help me in this situation. And the more animosity that it built up for me towards her, I started to hate her mother. And the hard thing for me to do is I actually began to pray for her and her well-being and her relationships and all of that. And I can truly say, now all of this counseling may sound good, but at the end of the day, God put the thing down and made it in her circumstances to where she had no choice but to let me see my child. And I didn't go to court. I didn't get an attorney. I didn't petition anybody or write anything up. It just happened that way. But what
look
I learned.
God. Look at God, boy. we got a caller on the line. Let me go ahead and grab this call. Certainly the phone lines are open. Those of you who want to give a quick comment or question, certainly you can hit us up, 646-716-8697. All right, I think this is PB here. Let me grab the phone line. PB, is that you?
That's me. How y'all doing today?
What's going on?
Oh, not much. Just listening to the show.
I know, huh? This is a juicy one. Okay, now I know, PB, as far as, you know, just parents and so forth, and I know you're not a parent at this time, but just hearing some of the stories or maybe even seeing some of your friends go through this, what do you think about parents using children as pawns?
Well, I mean, to me, I don't know, because to me, I think it's just like, I think it's like just ignorant, to be honest, like, because, like, I have a friend that we had through discussion, and, like, we had through discussion, and it kind of got her upset with me, I guess, because, like, I didn't have a kid, but I was trying to judge her situation. But, like, I know her child's father went to come get his son from her, and she was just like, he need to do something and go find him somebody to play with or something like that. And I'm just like, do what? You got a man that's going to be in his kid life that's asking you to come pick up his son. And, like, nowadays, that's hard to find.
Yeah, that's real,
that,
right?
Somebody wants to spend time with, that a man wants to spend time with the kids. I'm like, really, you need to just, like, go ahead and just let the child go. But, you know, one point that I really wanted to make when I was listening to the show is, like, it kind of takes me back to the whole Casey Anthony situation, because, you know, like, they were saying that's what happened with her situation. She was using Kaylee as a pawn from her mother. Like, she didn't want to let her mother see the baby. Like, remember when they were saying that they had fell out?
Yeah, that's right.
They were saying they fell out, and, like, basically she was telling her, like, you ain't going to see the baby no more. I'm going to move off away from you, and you ain't going to see the baby no more. So that went, listening to this show, that's what kind of brought me back. It brought me back to the whole Casey Anthony thing.
That is so true. I forgot about that. Because grandparents, that's a whole, it's not just the biological parent, but the grandparents. There's been actual cases where grandparents have taken their own child to court so they can see their grandchild.
Right,
absolutely.
Right. That way. You know what? I do too. At PBA, man, it's good to hear from you again, because I haven't heard from you in a while. But it's crazy how men are, we have more of a offense, and women have more of a defense. And when you realize that the men have the power to make a choice that's going to change the lives of everybody, where if he leaves the home and decides to abandon his kids and all of that, he's the aggressor in the world, this and that and the other. And a woman, more defensive, has to utilize the power that she's given. And the two things that are the greatest power for a woman, and that really controls the world, if you really want to look at it, is she has the power over her body, which the men desire, and then she has the power over the children, which she carries, gives birth to, and nurtures. And in these situations of a fight or a breakup, she has that power to wield it against the man. And that's the greatest way to hurt somebody. And, you know, I wish that the dialogue that should be on the table is the dialogue between the two that are fighting over the kids. What is the man doing and saying that we don't get to hear about? All we hear is that he's trying to see his kids. We don't hear how he did it. We don't hear how the relationship ended. We don't hear what he may have caused to bring about this fight, because the fight is between two people, not just a person trying to hurt you. There is a reason. How do you go from being in love, having children, raising them, to you can't see your kids no more? Psychologically, there has been a breakdown from point A to point Z. You know what I'm saying?
And it's just it's a shame. You know, as I'm sitting here and I'm listening, you know, to the various stories, even in the chat room. You can Overland Park. You said Overland Park, Kansas, Texas, MCI. Boy, that's a long name. You can call into the show, 646-716-8697. It shows 3 minutes as far as live airing, but we're still going to go for another 15 minutes that only the archive listeners can hear. So Blog Talk, I think they do that to get you to come back. Call in now, 646-716-8697. And you can tell your story. I guess he's saying he's fighting with his ex now over the child. I'd love to hear your story briefly if you would love to call in. He's saying he can't stand the chick, and he's fighting with his ex. So, but definitely, I just feel that the children, what are we teaching them? At the end of the day, what are we teaching the children if we're acting all stank towards daddy or mommy? And, you know, we're teaching them, you know, listen, you know, your daddy don't love you, your daddy don't want you. Why would you say that to a child? I've had friends, and I hate to say this, or I should say acquaintances, that I've actually heard them tell. I'm going to keep it 100, okay? Look, my friends I can count on one hand. But acquaintances that I've heard them tell their children, your daddy don't love you, he ain't thinking about you, your daddy don't want nothing to do with you. And I'm just like, wow. Let me check my switchboard to see if Overland called in. Overland Park. Oh, boy, that's a name. Yes, you can call in. So anyway, you know, my thing is, okay, you must be at work. Well, then email me your question over Overland Park, Kansas, and I can ask on the air, or I think he's calling to tell his story. But, yeah, so the thing is, you know, it's just really sad because why would you teach a child that? What are you teaching them when they get older to teach their children? You know, I even had an acquaintance actually hide the children from the father. The father came to pick the kids up one day. And we were sitting in her living room, and the doorbell rings, and she's like, oh, that's your daddy. Hide, hide. And I'm sitting here like, what the mess? You know what I mean? Just to hurt him. She was mad at him for something. I don't know if his child support was late, what was going on, I don't know. But she was upset over something he did not do for the kids. And she was like, uh-uh, y'all not seeing y'all daddy today. Y'all get in that room. Hi, be quiet. I'm just like, this is too much.
And you know what, Sugar, real fast, you know, something that I can commend my mother on and what I try to tell my other friends around here, because I'm pretty young and most of my friends are young, but what I try to tell them is basically you, like, if your child father's not in the child life while they're young, you know, you don't keep them from them, and nor do you talk negative. Like, my mom never really talked negative about my dad. You know, it was, our situation was a little different from some, because some people are in town in the same city with their dad. Well, my dad was in one city, I'm in another city. So that was kind of our issue, too. But really, it's not a big deal, because, like, if you want to be there, you can be there. But like I'm saying, she never bashed him or anything like that. But, you know, I say you just do what you got to do, keep it trucking. You know, you don't focus on the negative. You try to remain positive about the situation. And when the child get older, he'll see it for himself. So, like, if the child wants to choose to make their relationship, you let their child make their decision. You don't make it for them. And so, like I'm saying, she never once encouraged my relationship with my dad. Like, once I got older, I just seen how it was, and I choose not to fool with him. Like, she didn't make the decision for me. I never once heard her say anything bad about it. So, you know, that was just a decision I made on my own.
Yeah, and that's how it should be. You know, I don't think you should throw salt, or that you should certainly badmouth, you know, the other parent, because you're right, as the child gets older, if that other parent is on some other stuff and they real deep and just tripping and all this, the child will see that. You know, they're going to realize, wow, you know, mama don't got it all, or daddy don't got it all, something wrong upstairs. They're going to see all that, you know.
Another reason is, too, that, like, everybody got a pass. So, like I'm saying, mama might be the sole provider for you, but trust me, mama ain't perfect either.
Yeah,
there's some stuff mom did too, probably.
Yeah,
like, ain't nobody going there.
Okay, that's right.
Ain't this
it's
crazy
so real.
That you together, you had kids, you in the kids' life every day, and then like tomorrow, you know, the very next day, you can't see your kids. I mean, how do you go from being good enough to be their parent when I'm with you to being not good enough to have anything to do with your child just because we ain't together? Now you an unfit parent? I mean, wow.
That's deep. That's real deep. I want to read this comment in the chat room, and this is what Overland Park was going to call about. He's stating that he did not want kids. This girl trapped him, and he can't stand her, you know, and so he's fighting with her and so forth. And that's another touchy issue when, you know, the man did not want children, but yet and still the female ended up pregnant to trap him. And now we're dealing with another issue. You know what I'm saying? As far as the child being in this this web, you know,
okay.
And it's really unfortunate.
Sure, if I could just comment on that real quick. But
yes.
I don't mean to come at him because I don't know his situation like that, but I think that is just like one of the craziest excuses that you could possibly make, because like I'm saying, it takes two to tango. It takes two to have that kid. So like I'm saying, you have to be doing something. Like, you, what was you doing to keep from having the kid if you didn't want to have the kid? So like I'm saying, now the kid is here, that's what you worry about. And I just don't believe in going on the record saying that you never wanted the kid. Like I'm saying, you never know, that could get back to your kid. You said you never wanted, how is it going to make your kid feel knowing that my daddy never wanted me in the first place? Like I'm saying, now that the kid is here, you can focus on that and go forward. I'm just saying, you don't say that. You don't say that. That's horrible. That's horrible. I mean, come on, y'all laughing, but I'm serious. That is horrible.
It's real, nah. I'm laughing.
You're right. A horrible statement to make. You don't say that.
That's real, okay? People always going to keep it 100, you know?
We got to do, we got to do better. Men got to do better than that. You got to, though, for real.
You know, this is, you're absolutely right, and I just find it it's humorous because you're right as far as you got to be careful what you say, you know? It can come back to haunt you. And so as parents, we have to use wisdom, what we share. And so, you know, whether the child was planned or not, you're right, DB, it takes two to tangle. So, but, you know, on a side note, your story is similar to many men, as LT, as far as being a stay-at-home father, you know, or being active in their lives and just being hands-on. And then one day having that completely stripped from you has got to be heartbreaking. And it's sad because you're right. If you were good enough then to take the children to the park and buy their clothes and, you know, help with homework and cook dinner for them, why on God's green earth now are you not good enough because you're not with the mother? That's just unfair to me. And I believe the only, like I said, with my situation, the only exception to the rule is when the parents are out of state. And I believe that it's harder to have that quality time with the child, whereas if the father was there locally, you know, you could come on the weekends, you could come during the weekday, you know what I'm saying? It's way different. But it still does not mean you keep the child completely out of the other parent's life. You know, you have summer, you got spring break, you got other ways to work it. My children, as I mentioned, they instant message their father. They talk on the webcam. You know, it's all different types of technology now that you could use to help the situation, but it'll never be the same as the father was in the home. And that's what's heartbreaking about this entire you know, dilemma that many are faced with.
I know we lightly touched on it, but also the point that if a man is not paying his child support, then he can't have access to his kids. And I think
that was
a
question, yes. Let's address that, because that was a question from last week. I had a listener actually ask me, you know, do you think it's right? I'm paying all the bills. I'm taking care of my child. And the lady said, you know, he wanted for her to send the baby out of town to visit with him. But he asked her to send money for the baby. And she said, wait a minute, but you don't pay money when the baby's here with me. You don't pay child support. You don't do anything. It's all on me. You know, and so let's talk about that. When, yes, if the woman doesn't get child support, then she does not let the father see the child. That's not right either.
No, because you know what the trick of the enemy is, and if you look at the society of America, which is transpired from way back when, there is a gear to cause separation in the home, in the family, and it has been money. You know, you have to have money to have access to your child. You have to have money to substitute for your parenting. That's one of the big things right there. A lot of men, they feel like they pay child support. They're contributing their half to the child's life, and the other stuff, time is never included. You know, I spend time with my child. I talk to my kids. I mentor my children. I take them to do whatever. They figure like, hey, I pay money, so that's a substitute. And then here's the rebuttal: if you don't pay money, then you don't have access. You know, it's crazy. How does money become the main focus?
Well, you know, a lot of men feel like they're only paychecks also. You know, I hear that quite often. Oh, I'm only a paycheck. You know, the system doesn't care. They're going to give the baby to the mama anyway. Or, you know, she don't care. The only time she calls me when she needs something, I'm only a paycheck.
That's their out for not wanting to be responsible in the first place. I mean, I'm a man. I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't agree with the child support system because it's not really set up for the child. It's set up for them to funnel money from one parent to the other, and they collect a fee. And they have millions of dollars from putting child support order in place, so they've only given us a bare bones infrastructure of it because they don't make the custodial parent do anything. They don't have to do anything other than to show up for court, receive their money, or anything like that. Unless you hire an attorney and go after that parent for not allowing you to see your child. They don't enforce it both ways. They only enforce the person who's getting the money through them. And that's the sad thing about the child support system. It should be an actual, to me, if you really want to know my opinion, if you were together Nobody was beating the kids. There was no abuse of a physical, sexual nature or anything like that.
Right.
Right. There should be an automatic joint custody. Why do you have to decide who gets to have half of their child's time? I mean, full custody, let's go to court. But joint custody should be automatic. If you're married or not married, it should be automatic. And now, guess what, buddy? You're just as responsible for this kid's livelihood as I am. You ain't getting to escape out because you're going to, you know, send up your little $150 every 2 weeks, you know. No.
That's right. That's true. You know, you hear it quite some time, you know. And, PB, I want for you. You don't have kids now, but I know you're hearing this, and these are like words of wisdom, I'm sure. Is this one of the reasons why you don't have kids, so you don't have to deal with no baby mama drama or what?
Well, you know what? It's not even that. The number one reason that I don't
have kids. I'm just keeping it real. A lot of people like, bump this. I'm not having no kids. It's too much drama.
Well, the number one reason I don't want kids is because I realize, as LT was saying, that once you have kids, it's more than just financially that you have to be there. And like me, I know all that other stuff. Like financially, I probably could do that. But right now, I just don't have the patience. So, like, I couldn't be there for that kid like this. It's like,
at least you know that now before you have one and be like, look, girl, I told you I got that check in the mail. Don't call me no more. You know what I mean? Right. You know what I'm saying? You can't, you don't, at least you know right now you do not have the time or the patience to deal with that. And it's wisdom you're using to not bring a child in this world and know that. You know what I'm saying? And so
mentally,
that's good. Okay. I wish there was a lot of other men that knew that, because it's unfortunate how many children end up neglected or fatherless because they like, psh, I ain't dealing with all that. You were the one that chose to have that child, not me.
Right. Well, you know, good men also need to mentor kids. When you do have time, PB, you know, I'm sure you probably do. You have nephews or cousins, a little kids around you and stuff. You know, take the time to be something that they may lack in that kid's life. Because even though we don't have a good reputation of men in the world that are fathers, and we see the results of it, but at least the ones that are good can take some time and put some effort forth and show kids that there are good men out there. Show women there are good men out there.
Absolutely.
You know, and so we only have like 2 minutes remaining, but this show has certainly been awesome. The message I would say is certainly you have to be proactive when it comes to your children. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't see them or that you can't, you know, help raise them and be a big part of their lives. Sitting back and letting someone have the power of your destiny certainly is not the answer, you know. And so many fathers have felt the wrath, you know, of being, even mothers. So I don't want to say only fathers, because I have personal girlfriends that are going through this, and the father has the children. And it's just sad, because it's really selfish when the other parent only thinks about them and not what's best for the child. And so I would honestly say is that as a parent, be proactive in your child's life. Find ways that you can make a difference and do what you feel in your heart. Don't worry about if the other parent likes it or not, because what matters is that child knowing that their mother or their father really loves them. And so that's what I have to say as far as my little 2 cents. Okay. But we only have like a minute left before we close. I got to say, LT, thank you so much. PB, thank you for joining us. All the listeners that are on the switchboard listening and Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room, thank you all for joining us on this very controversial subject. You know, I hope that this has certainly shed some light on your behalf, and certainly please take some of the suggestions and use them in regards to how you can help make your relationship better with your children. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and close, and I just have to say thank you all for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio. It has certainly been a ball. I got to give a shout out to my son, Imbull. You know where you at and what you're doing. Happy birthday to you, my son. Speaking
hey,
of kids,
birthday.
Has a birthday on the day. So we getting ready to chop it up and celebrate. I got cake and ice cream waiting, and I got to get going here. But it's been a pleasure, each and every single one of you. Please continue to spread the word about Brown Sugar Radio. The words of encouragement that I want to give today is don't ever give up. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio, where entertainment is extraordinary. Make it a great day.
Brown Sugar Radio.
Brown Sugar Radio.
That's where it's
That's where it's happening.
The most impressive show
on internet radio.
Brown Sugar Radio.
Sugar Radio.
You don't want to miss a segment of excitement.
We have the hottest celebrities interviewed.